There you are. Welcome to the Halloween Haunt. You'll find it's an essential part of your Halloween experience, providing knowledge of blood-curdling traditions and history, plus creepy poems and stories. Now, strap yourself in, if someone hasn't already done it for you, because here's the fiendish fellow now, the Halloween Haunter!
I was just thinking about my friend, the creature from the Black Lagoon. He had a film made about him in 1954, you know. He's a classic Universal monster, along with Dracula, Frankenstein, and the Wolfman, among others. He came on the scene pretty late in the game, nearly 30 years after Phantom of the Opera with Lon Chaney. Did you know that the movie was presented in 3D? A black and white 3D film. Moviegoers wore glasses with gray polarizing filters, much like the color glasses of today. Just as with 3D today, not everyone saw it that way. Many in the burbs just saw a flat version. There were later re-releases with other kinds of glasses, including a 1980 home videotape release. It was a Valentine date night movie originally, having been released on February 12th in Detroit, Michigan, although it came out later elsewhere. Gilman, aka the creature, was found when an expedition to the Amazon went in search of more fossils relating to a skeletal hand with webbed fingers that had been found. It was theorized it could be a link between land and water creatures. It was the 50s, so there was only one woman in the party, and she was the girlfriend of the scientist who led the expedition, of course. But she was also a colleague. Whoops. When they get to the camp in the Amazon, they find the rest of the research team killed. Turns out a creature, the creature, found the expedition and was curious. Of course, the creature, a 6-foot-tall or so amphibious humanoid with gills and a cute fish face, freaked out the conventional 50s humans. So they attack it, which angered the creature. So, the new party doesn't yet know the creature exists and can't find any more skeletal remains. So in the theory that the remains slipped into the water and were taken downstream, the party heads downriver. The crusty old guide, you have to have one of those in exotic places, you know, tells them the river empties into a lagoon. The Black Lagoon. He says it's a paradise, but of course no one has ever returned. So how would he know, I wonder? The creature has been watching them the whole time, and he's noticed that the lady, Julie Adams, is quite fetching. He follows them and secretly joins Kay, the lady, in the water while she swims. That's why he gets caught in a net from the ship and leaves a claw telling the crew that he exists and is not just a fossil. Much happens, and Gilman is blamed for much, and to be fair, he kills more people and captures the lovely Kay. But suffice to say, at the end of the movie, it looks like he's done for good. And then there were the sequels. The creature's origin goes all the way back to 1941, so he really is a classic Universal monster. The producer, William Allen, was at a dinner party while Citizen Kane was being filmed, and he learned from Gabriel Figueroa, the cinematographer from Mexico, of an Amazon myth of half-fish, half-human animals in the river. 10 years later, Allen wrote a story called The Sea Monster based on Beauty and the Beast. Eventually, it became the creature from the Black Lagoon. Many believed that Bud Westmore, the makeup artist, designed the creature, mainly because he got credit and didn't say otherwise. But a Disney animator by the name of Millicent Patrick actually designed him. His look was based on 17th century strange woodcuts of a couple of creatures known as the Sea Monk and the Sea Bishop. Gilman was mainly played by Ben Chapman. He couldn't sit in the costume, and he had to wear it for 14 hours during the day. Where was the union? It was a hot suit, so he stayed in Universal Studios' backlot lake most of the time, and even then asked to be hosed down. As you might imagine when you look at it, the actor couldn't see very well when the head was on, so when he carried Julie Adams, he would sometimes scrape her head against the wall. Oops. When he was underwater, the creature was played by Raku Browning, who, as I tell you this, is the last living original Universal monster. Those scenes were shot in Florida. He sometimes had to hold his breath for 4 minutes at a time, since he was supposed to breathe through his gills. In later movies, you'll see those air bubbles. Different director. He told a story where he was underwater for a few minutes and then came up near a mother and her young daughter on the shore. He said, "They took off, and that's the last I saw of them." That's sweet. You may be surprised to know, or maybe you wouldn't, that critics generally liked The Creature from the Black Lagoon. They didn't love it, but they liked it. With Everything Under the Moon having been remade and remade again, it's odd that The Creature hasn't been rebooted. John Landis was involved in a 3D attempt in the early 80s. It may have been done in by Jaws 3D, which was also a Universal flick. John Carpenter was said to be developing another version in the early 90s, possibly directed by Peter Jackson. He did King Kong instead. Again in the 2000s, after the success of The Mummy, the idea was revived, with various screenplays and various directors attached. Then in 2012, it was announced that a different reboot was in production, to be called just The Black Lagoon. If you missed it in 2014, when it was due to be out, that's because it never happened. There were reports of new writers and new actors attached after that, but so far, bupkis. You can find the original on Blu-ray in both 2D and 3D, plus it's in a box set with other classic Universal monsters. You'll find links to discussions of other monsters in the show notes and at thehalloweenhaunt.com, where you'll find other episodes too.